Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Seeking What They Sought, a conversation on Seventh-day Adventism. I'm Eric, your five-time honorable mention Green Ribbon Award-winning producer. And in this episode, we're visiting with Patty McCoy about the future of the Adventist Church and how the next generation is going to influence that. Welcome to the party. Before we jump into our conversation with Patty McCoy, I just wanted to cover a couple things. First of all, sorry for the delay in getting this episode out. Life has just been pretty crazy recently. Sean and I have both become fathers in the last few months, and Jesse and Anthony are just lazy. Secondly, we are going to take a short break after this episode as we gear up for a season two of sorts. We have lots of great topics, discussions, and interviews in the pipeline, and we're really excited to share those with you soon. Okay, with that out of the way, let's jump into our conversation with Patty McCoy. Patty is a good friend of ours. He's a young adult pastor at the Kettering Adventist Church and former chaplain of Walla University, and he's also bald. Let's get into it.
Speaking of bald eagles, let's talk about young adults.
Hey, everyone. My name is Jesse Churchill. I'm a pastor up in Washington State.
I'm Anthony Leiter, and I live in good old SoCal. I'm a youth pastor at the La Sierra University Church.
And I'm Sean Lenhoff, and I teach at San Gabriel Academy in Southern California.
And apologies, Patty. I'm getting over the flu, so I'm a little sick.
Yeah. By the way, just so everybody knows, Patty himself is bald. So
that. Yeah. That is true. Very important information to know.
Uh-huh. I'm getting a death stare right now from Patty. Sorry, Anthony, continue.
This is the best. So yeah, Patty, I wanted to ask you, you've been a chaplain for 10 years. You were chaplain for 10 years at Walla Walla University and worked a ton with young adults, college age, undergrad, grad students. And I'm just curious about your perception. There's been a lot of, you know, conversation about millennials and just, I guess, our age group demographic over the past like 5 years. It's sort of dying down now, right? It's like millennials aren't really the star generation anymore. So, you know, most of the headlines are Gen Z now. But yeah, I'm curious. Oh, man, I have a few questions, but I'm curious. What do you find is a strength that young adults have that you feel like can impact the world for Jesus and the gospel? And what do you feel like is maybe something that holds us back? Just from all of your work and time spent with young adults.
I mean, I did higher education for 19 years of my career. The last year and a half has been specifically in the church as a young adult pastor. So age range, you know, you're talking 18 to 35 ish in that sense. And, you know, I don't know that it's dramatically different from all the years that it has been in the past. What I think the problem is with the church is that even in the and I apologize for how I might sound about the growing young phenomenon, but I'm not, I mean, I'm honest. A fan of growing young. I get that. But the fact that this book came out and we're all like growing young this and growing young that, and oh my goodness, the research, did you look at it and see? It's the same research that's been out there for 35 years and we haven't done a thing about it before. Right.
Wow.
It's just that now we have a new thing. But if the book helps a catalyst to some change, then great. But it's not new. It's not new. You know, so in that sense, the problem is, again, it's a fundamental problem with the church, is that we want young adults to be a part of the church. We say we do, but we really only want them if they worship like us and think like us and do the things that we want them to do.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Preach it.
And if it's going to be different, if they're going to bring about change, then whoa, wait a minute, that's not right. And that's where we close the doors, and that's where we lose. You know, and we've got to be willing to open up the door for what change will come. Now, you know, the young adults are not wanting anyone to exit the church. Like, they don't want to get rid, typically, they don't want to get rid of the older generations. They just want to have a seat to be able to say, can I have a voice as well in all of this? And can that make an actual difference in what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, and can you be open to that? And they want to be mentored, and they want to you know, partner in all these different ways. Not that they have it all figured out. Listen, I, you know, what I say, there was both what's good and what's a challenge. I think mm-hmm. with any younger generation, you know, the challenge is it is so much easier to critique than it is to create.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And so we can, you know, sit there and say, oh, the church isn't this and the church isn't that and the church isn't, you know, and the phrase that I've been using for a long time is, listen, you can spend all your time complaining about what the church is or isn't, or you can just be the church that you want to see in the world.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to stop complaining. And we have to get involved. And that's one area that's been tough, I think, with millennials. It'll be interesting to see where Gen Z is. But there's a lot of talk amongst millennials about doing great and incredible things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in actuality, when you look at like it's they've been the most mission minded generation. Mm-hmm. You guys, you know, but
you.
Volunteer hours across North America anyway are down more than they've ever been.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is real involvement? What is real engagement?
It's called Netflix.
Right,
exactly.
It's called changing your Facebook profile.
Yeah, you change your Facebook profile and we've done something amazing.
Yeah, so you're saying we spend more time thinking about mission-minded things to do, but when it actually comes to doing them, we don't do it. We just like to bring it up.
Sure.
Or that tends to be the generalization, at least.
It's a generalization, right. It's not everyone, but there's certainly enough of that. Or we're more than happy to talk and complain about the church, and then when we continue to have the door shut in our face, just to walk away and go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sadly, a lot of people that say they want to leave the Adventist church, and this probably happens in other denominations as well, but, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They don't intend to do that initially, but they end up walking away from faith, not just church, in the long run,
for sure.
I think. And what a difference the church would be if we said, no, we're going to do something about it. We're going to do something to impact the kind of church we want to be. So the other thing is we have to stop being judgmental and hypocritical by calling the church judgmental and hypocritical.
Explain that. Say more about
that. Well, it's just because when we're saying the church is judgmental, we're judging the church. When we say the church is hypocritical, we're being hypocritical by calling the church hypocritical. I mean, again, it's just focus. What are you going to spend your time on? Are you going to spend your time complaining about all that isn't, or figuring out something, some way to make it better?
So I can totally get behind that myself, because I get to be the pastor of a church. We have a growing young adult population where we get to affect change, and I'm really excited about it. What do you say to someone who isn't part of a community like that and is literally living within the context of, I would love to be the change, but I'm in a context where no one will let me do it? Or maybe it's just such a big church that you're lost in the midst of it. How do you be the change in an organization when that's your situation?
Well, and I, you know, here's the thing. I think that may be part of the challenge is the word organization. You know, are we trying to change an organization, or are we trying to build up the body of Christ?
Well, sorry. Yeah, I guess maybe.
I'm not trying to change the. Yeah, I'm not criticizing you, and I'm just thinking of me. Maybe
I'm taking personal offense.
Yeah, it's like how we think about it. Like, we want to change the organization, or we want to build up the church. Which, by the way, another side note is another big problem within Adventism is we spend a lot more time using language that tears down the body of Christ instead of build up the body of Christ. And if we could figure out how to stop that, you know, I mean, all the online, you know, all the vicious websites that are, you know, tearing other people down and purporting the conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, it does nothing to build up the body of Christ. Why are we doing it? Why do we allow it? But Jesse, I think that is, you know, therein does lie the challenge, is even like if they're not letting me, well, then you know what? If you're in a church that's not letting you have a voice or letting you be involved, then one, we have technology that lets us do church in all sorts of different ways, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, but to be out there and looking to start or build or grow something somewhere, you know, if a church wants to continue to fade into black, let them. Okay. If they're going to, you know, it's just what Jesus said.
Fade into gray.
Right. Well,
that's probably more.
It's like Jesus said, shake the dust off your sandals and move on.
Why'd you say black, though?
For the record, Jesse said black. I did not.
Yeah. So Patty.
No, you did. I said gray.
So Patty, here's my question.
Oh, you're right. I said flayed.
Yeah. Sorry. Here's my question. It's actually a serious question. Let's refocus here. So Patty.
No.
If so, you said like shake the dust off your sandals and go somewhere else. A lot of people can come to conclusions about what that means, right? Within our context in the Adventist Church, people have talked about a church split. They've talked about, finding a healthy place to deepen your spiritual walk and also feel like you can be empowered to help others in that place. So, some people will come to the conclusion that you should leave just the Adventist Church in general. So you should ditch the Adventist framework. And so it's one thing to say you're no longer part of the Seventh-day Adventist organization. If we're saying, if there was an issue there, right? If it wasn't allowing you to have a voice, at what point do you say, oh, I'm no longer part of this organization? And then also you say, in some way, you're no longer an Adventist, right? Is there a difference between those two? Saying you're part of this organization and you're an Adventist, are those two separate things?
Sadly, I think they are actually
interesting.
They become more that way. I think, and I've got a friend that coined this phrase, is that I think there is SDA Inc. right now.
Inc.
Where SDA Incorporated, we are more concerned about the brand of Seventh-day Adventists and the three angels messages, which typically when somebody says that, they mean the third angels message, not the first two.
Right. Very true.
And that's been my experience. So we are holding up the Seventh-day Adventist Church as usurping the body of Christ.
Hmm.
Right?
Wow.
It's more important than the body of Christ.
Yeah. Are you talking about organization? Like
the organization, yes.
Bureaucratic layers.
I mean, I think that is part of the reason why we have more administrators than we should, and nobody's going to vote to themselves out of a job.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that's actually not true though. The side note, Foursquare Church, the Foursquare organization, they literally said, actually, we're going to cut down at the top so we can give more money back to the churches so that they can do church planning. It's happened.
Yeah,
it's
and
crazy.
Part of the year-end meetings at the North American Division was to say, hey, okay, step one is trying to, and this is obviously a bigger conversation, but is the North American Division getting on par with everyone else as far as what we contribute to the General Conference? Mm-hmm. But the other piece of that then is, if we're going to contribute less to the General Conference, then more needs to go back to the local church, not more needs to go into higher levels of administration.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, yes, there are those kinds of issues and conversations. But so I do think that there is a difference between the SDA Inc. and the followers of Jesus. Here's the ultimate thing.
Sorry, Patty, can I interrupt you just for a second?
Yeah.
When you say followers of Jesus, you mean Adventist followers of Jesus? What do you mean by that?
Well, so here's what I mean. I mean, I am an Adventist. I think we get into trouble when we start differentiating between, well, I'm an Adventist Christian or I'm a Christian who's an Adventist.
Right.
I don't know why they have to be two different things. Or we always have to use qualifiers or whatever, I'm an Adventist Christian. I have grown up in the Adventist Church. I see through the Adventist lens. What that means to me is I believe I'm an Adventist because there is a message there that I think through the Adventist tradition paints a picture of God that seems to make more sense to me within the teachings of scriptures as a whole, and a picture of God that is consistent with that. Teachings in scripture, that there's a reason I'm an Adventist, and anybody that's going to say I'm going to exit the church because they're not, you have to be careful because it can be a very self-centered thing. The church isn't meeting my needs, I'm going to leave.
Right.
That's the wrong reason to do it. The reason to do it is, listen, I'm being hindered and this group or this voice is being hindered from spiritual growth because of this certain environment. And so we need to find a spiritual home where we can grow. And we know there are some people that because of their interaction within the church, they're not going to be able to grow spiritually within the Adventist church, sadly, right? Yeah. They've been scarred. They've been wounded. They've been abused by a leader. There's all sorts of things, right?
For sure,
is God still going to work on that person? Absolutely. May he have to use a different method to do that? Absolutely. You know, or medium, I think that that's possible. But if we just leave because we don't like the worship service,
right?
Or we just leave because of, you know, fill in the blank, it's the wrong reason to leave. But everybody needs community. Not a single person can exit and think that they're going to go out into the world and just exist on their own spiritually. You know, we have to be tied to community, that we were designed to be tied to community, and the community is a beautiful thing. The structure, when the structure gets in the way of the growth, then there's a problem. And I think that's where we're at right now. You know, is that structure is getting in the way of growth. Although there is something that, you know, younger generation does typically, it's not even the younger generation, just culture somewhat does tend to say right now, the whole idea of being spiritual but not religious. You've heard that. I think that's
garbage, but
You think it's what?
I think it's garbage personally.
So why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. I just say that I'm spiritual but not religious is to, in essence, say like I believe in higher things, but I don't have any sort of set kind of belief system. But you do have a set belief system. You are, I think all of us are religious, whether we know it or not. We're just religious about different things.
Yeah.
And so that's my frustration. To say that also is just a way to cop out of not having to go deeper, in essence. And that's what bothers me. And I don't want to judge people on an individual basis with that, but just I hate that saying in general, because that's where I see a generalization of people who are just like, I don't have to go deeper because I'm spiritual but not religious.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I was looking for I snagged a copy of this recently, but somebody that spoke to that and really very much the same thing. It's like to say it is almost spitting in the direction of faith tradition. And saying there's no purpose or reason for this. This is a waste of time. You know, and it really does put self at the center, right?
Yeah.
Which
exactly.
again is what the world's trying to do. That's the world values.
To play devil's advocate, I think those who say they are spiritual and not religious would probably say the same thing you said, Jesse, that religion keeps us from going deeper, that spirituality is deeper than religion ever could be.
Well, yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Well, yeah, of course, that's a reality in our world. But I just think that most people who say that, I want to be careful. I get the sense that most people who say that are saying that out of a sense of, I just don't want to be part of an organization. I want to kind of do my thing. Kind of what you said, Patty, where it becomes a self-centered focus on. And what I was about to say was the wild thing about Jesus was that he's not self-centered. In fact, he does call you into something that is a huge commitment, is absolutely life-changing. Mm. And because of that, like, you can't just say I'm spiritual but not religious. It becomes a religion, but a healthy religion, you know, where my religion is to care about other people before myself. My religion is to allow someone else to change me and be the power inside of me that lives out of me. That's just, it's a different way of thinking about it. Sorry, I'm getting off on tangent, but
no, like, this is just interesting because
it just bothers me when people say like, oh yeah, I'm spiritual but not religious. It's like, no, you are. You're religious. You're religiously you're for yourself. And I'm going to say that and I'm going to make that call.
No, this is
in kind of like a,
this is great. I wish we could. Maybe we should talk more about this another time, because I think Jesus was totally non-religious.
Let me read you a quote.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You think Jesus was totally non-religious?
No, I didn't. Man, maybe I can develop that more. I don't know. Yeah, I think Jesus.
Yeah, because he didn't go to like the synagogue on Sabbath or anything.
Well, he did. He definitely had a system. He had a system, and he was a religious person. 100%.
I think we get into trouble when we start trying to define it.
But, yeah, I think maybe Anthony, the difference I would say is that Jesus didn't come to start another faith system.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He came to give birth to his body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get That's into good. Trouble again when we think about it denominationally or whatever else. But right, let me read you this quote, and you tell me what you think. It says, I used to hear I'm spiritual just not religious as the positive yearnings of people looking for a deeper experience of faith than they were finding in specific religious traditions. I have reluctantly come to the conclusion that I'm spiritual just not religious can be wait for it, one of the most condescending and colonialist, not to mention godless statements anyone can utter.
Dang.
Yikes. Hold on. That was heavy.
What that phrase has come to mean is that you arrogate to your individual advantage those juicy portions of religious traditions you find appetizing, and you brush aside the remainder as unprofitable and unworthy of your palate. Spiritual but not religious is an act of godifying self at worst, consumerist tourism at best, as one wanders the aisles of the supermarket of religions and picks out this and that as mementos of one's visit and as stray morsels one may want to consume for oneself without respect for their origin or commitment to their context. Spiritual but not religious treats religions as brands to be consumed, not belief systems to be understood or faith traditions to be honored.
I'm not even, I
That's
have
quite
never
a bit.
Claimed to say that,
wow.
And I'm dead. Like, that just killed me.
It's just, what, you know,
wow.
Something to think about.
No, but it's true, and I think that we're even in danger of that within Adventism. I can say that I'm probably even almost hypocritical in saying some of the stuff that I've said, because even in the context of Adventism, my first drive is to say, that's stupid, I'm going to throw it out. That's my first level.
It's easier,
drive. And so then it does be and then it does be, I have to say there's a healthy version of that, because if you're never willing to question and throw something out, then you just get stuck with a bunch of stuff that may not mean anything good. But at the same time, I think my generation, probably my generation, is far too quick to say, "Oh, that doesn't work," you know, that's stupid, and therefore I will not believe it.
Yeah, what I found most of the time when And I've heard this from students too, is a lot, they have no filters, at least my age. I teach junior high, and a lot of times when they're questioning authority, whether it's something, a church belief or not, it can just be something that we've set up at the school for them to follow, is they'll call out the practice that we've put forward, like, oh, we don't want this discipline, or we don't want to do things this way, or why do we believe this, right? You always have those questions. And it's usually, what I've noticed, it's usually more on the practice than the purpose and why that belief or rule was put there in the first place. So what I'm saying is, even connecting that to church beliefs, right? So we talked earlier about Catholic paranoia, right? So that's almost become a running joke for a large part of our church, right? There's a good chunk of our church that doesn't look at Catholic people and say, oh, they're the Antichrist, right? Sure, like usually you don't hear that in most circles, and maybe, you know, these are the circles I've been in. Usually I don't see that being an issue. But then you have to say, when people ask, like, oh, are Adventists anti-Catholic? And you get into the deeper reasoning behind that, is we have a problem with maybe practice in our church and maybe not the doctrine. Is that fair to say? So there may be doctrine that speaks out prophetically against the Catholic institution, but is it speaking out against Catholic people? And what about the way we practice? Like, how do we interact with people that are of different faiths? You know, because a lot of times we lump people in that are in other denominations as apostate, right? And that almost is like a shunning practice, at least the way I've seen it sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
So is that how it's supposed to be done? You know, we can say we disagree with them, or maybe we look at parts of prophecy where people have fallen away, or church or institutions have fallen away from God's light. But do we, you know, how do we handle that? Because there are sometimes people I've come across, both kids and adults, that, and it usually falls, like Patty said, on the extremes, like extreme conservative, where the idea of talking about Catholics, it's like, oh, no, we don't talk about them, or we don't hang out with those people. Like, there is an ingrained culture of exclusion. And so I guess what I'm trying to look at here is I think we have to get back to the why we're doing things. I think in Adventism, we've forgotten, at least some of us, I feel like I have, I don't remember a lot of the reasons we do some of the things we do, or believe some of the things we believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, there's a lot out right now in the business world about starting with your why.
Right.
And I think you're right, Sean. I think, you know, you've got to know why you do what you do. You don't just do things because we've always done them. That's the lazy answer to things, right? Yeah. Why do we do it? But I would say even deeper with that, and this ties all the way back into the Trinitarian, you know, view, is that the why without the who doesn't matter.
Wow.
Right? So if we don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior and as the central figure in our faith, then the rest of it doesn't matter, right? Hmm. We're off track from the very beginning. I think there was a quote that I came across at one point saying that if NASA was off their calculations for the moon by 0.05%, they would miss the moon by millions of miles.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
If we're off in our faith by 0.05% of Christ, then we're going to miss the whole point of it by thousands of miles.
That's good.
Right.
So the order has to be, we need to go to the who first, then that will lead us to the why, and then that will lead us to the how. Is that kind of the way you're saying the order should be?
The healthy approach. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's really good.
And we've got to have purpose to what we're doing. Absolutely. You know, what's the reason behind this stuff? I think that's what the younger generations are especially looking for is, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we picking that song? Why are we, you know, teaching on that particular message or that passage in scripture? Or, you know, why do we, you know, do this at our church? You know, what's the point of it all? You know, and I've been going through with our church on, you know, kind of restating a vision and values and a way forward for our church community. And, you know, it's paradigm shifting for people to start thinking about, listen, church can't just be an activity that you go to for 2 hours a week. If church is just an activity you go to for 2 hours a week, then no wonder all you're talking about is what is or isn't said, how it's said, what song is sung or isn't sung. I mean, that's what matters. But so if you shift the paradigm and say, you know what, we're church right now, we're having church, we're each a part of church. And then it shifts the focus, right? It's a lifestyle. It's not an activity. And then I can get caught when I'm leaving church I slip back into it as too. When I say I'm leaving church. Right. Yeah. But if I'm coming home from a service, let me put it that way. And I say, you know, church was just okay today. Well, now if I'm church, that puts the ownership on me.
Right.
Oh, you were just okay today.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just okay today.
Yeah. That's good.
What have I done to make my church more what I want it to be? And when I say church, I mean my faith community, my community. What have I done to build that up?
Patty,
sorry. Amy, go for it.
No, you go actually, because you let me go. So you're good.
Oh, well, aww. I just had a, this is a sidetrack. This is, Patty, is just okay. Like when you say just church is just okay, but then you say, you know, then the ownership comes onto me, you know, is just okay how you function on a regular basis. that would be my assumption of your life.
Jesse. I'm just okay.
You're just okay. Like, that seems to be the function of your life on a regular basis.
I'm just doing, whatever, day in, day out.
Oh my word.
Sorry, that was a sidetrack. I had to insult Patty because I love him.
Yeah.
Ridicule. No, I think we should probably start winding down here, but as we end, Patty,
I got to go to the bathroom really bad.
Oh, perfect. time. Well, I just wanted to ask you,
wait, you don't have a,
let's keep him on.
You don't have a bottle under your table?
No.
Let's.
You guys didn't tell me those were the rules.
That's part of the rule. You should just know that. That's what you do when you're on a
podcast. 2 hour episode minimum.
None of us. Hey, Sean, this is only you. This is only you. You're the only one with a bottle under your table right now. I just want to let you know that.
I actually upgraded to a bedpan.
Oh, my word. Not a catheter?
Oh, man. That would be the ultimate to go. Oh, man. Okay. Anyways, sorry, Anthony.
As we wrap up, I wanted to ask you, like, you know, having been young adult pastor over at Kettering, what are some things, you sort of dived into this a little bit, but what are some things like you're hopeful about and like you're seeing are beautiful? Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, I recognize that I'm still in an institutional church. Part of the reason that, you know, for me, Walla Walla was a dream job. I loved working as a chaplain there. I could have done it for years more than what I did. You know, there were, we felt God leading, we felt, you know, doors opening up for my wife and her opportunity, and for some things to change for us as a family. Cause you guys know, I was very busy and did a lot of hours and all of that stuff. But one of the things that I knew while I was at Walla Walla is that what we created there was not reality. for young adults, right? It was this alternate reality where you have 17 worships in a week that are targeting your age group, put together by, by and large, your age group. And that's just not reality unless you're, when you graduate, you're going to stay in those places. Right.
And the Adventist ghettos.
Right. And so, you know, part of coming here for me from a professional standpoint was how do I help create, you know, the kind of church that young adults want to be a part of? You know, and I recognize coming here, I'm still in an institutional church. It's not a college church. You know, we're across the street from a college, but it's a healthcare college, you know, and you only have about 10% that are actually Adventists. And even above that, you have very non-traditional age students. The average age is 28. So you have the younger ones, but then it's all over the board.
Practically already seniors, like a senior citizen. So,
And so it's very different. But we are a part of a hospital system. At least we're across the street from one. That is large in this community, that is actively seeking young adult Adventists to come to this community, to lead out in the hospital organization, to participate in the leadership of the church. And so we have an opportunity, I think, here, both in monetary and in, you know, human resources, to try to do something that can not only create a great community of faith here, but be a blessing to the larger church, at least in North America. You know, maybe we could figure out some things here on how to do church, how to change from going to this kind of a church that is, you know, fading to non-existent, you know, non-existence, to a vibrant church that is growing. I mean, a couple of months ago as a church, which we had a business meeting where, you know, we had about 120 people out. Half of those were young adults at the business meeting voted to go forward with an $8 million children's wing expansion project. You know, and there's
you want to just vote on like a, maybe just $1 million gift to Northville Adventist Fellowship. You want to do over to my church over here?
I'll send a check. but you know, it's people that have said, we have a growing, children's program and we don't have room for them and we need to invest there because that's going to have an effect at all the other levels of the church. Right. We just invested into the youth program and what's happening down there. There are things that the church is doing. We're a part of our academy, that we're a part of, is now, get this, it's an Adventist school that is growing by leaps and bounds.
That's, you know, those are rare words.
They were, boy, I don't know how many years ago, it was before I got here and whatever else, they were down to, I think they were at 300 students. We're now at, they expect to be at 417 this quarter.
Nice.
And they is that because you got there?
It's because of me.
That's what
as soon as he stepped off the plane.
Actually, part of it is, you know,
as soon as he stepped off the plane, 100 people signed up for the school.
Yeah. Part of it is, you know, that they're actively seeking young families to come and work as a part of the hospital system. But part of it, too, is really innovative thinking on how to provide funding. We have a large group of Rwandan refugees that are coming to the school in the last couple of years. There's a large group of Hispanic low income students that are coming, and that's been through, you know, really trying to come together as a community and find funding to help them go. You know, and what's great about being a part of the hospital system is they see a need. They have all these kids that we can get their tuition paid for, but man, they can't get to the school. They don't have anybody to drive them. And then the hospital says, well, we can fix that. We've got vans. You take our vans and pick those kids up and take them home. And now we've got 80 students out of that.
That's beautiful. That's so cool.
Awesome. And so there's good things like that happening, but it's not perfect. You know, I mean, we are trying to, the church went from kind of being a high church, you know, back in the day it was great, but it's aged and it was dying. And then now, you know, they've kind of inserted this new young adult, they've given room for young adults to come in and really participate. But it's messy and we don't have it all figured out. And, you know, we're trying to figure out how to make it work to move forward in healthy ways. And I think the advantage we have is we've got young adults that are really talented and frustrated, I think, with how it's been, but they're not walking away yet.
Wow. That's
awesome.
And I think that's an advantage that we have. At least that's what, you know, I see. So, you know, we're just trying to figure it out. But we are growing in young adults. We are growing in the percentage of young.
You're growing young.
Yes. But not because of the book or study. That's the other thing that's kind of funny to me, too, is that, you know, we also in the church, we take people that, you know, like read or have their doctorates and whatever, or they've read the book. And so we're going to let them do all these presentations on what it means to grow young. But nobody really in the system is doing it. Right.
Yeah.
Like you can't pinpoint. You tell me right now, five outside of institutional churches, like university churches, that are growing and doing really impactful things for young adults in the Adventist system.
Yeah.
Name them.
Yeah. North Hill Adventist Fellowship.
But you know,
no, actually, it's like we've grown and it's awesome. But no, you're right. And actually, I will just share that what my heart for my church is, I've wanted to see a church that can grow. Can't, like, my question is, can an Adventist church grow outside of being attached to a school, like an elementary school or a high school or a college? Can it grow outside, or where there's no Adventist hospital? Can it just grow out in the middle of suburbia, you know, where none of that is? And that's what we're hoping to figure out, because I genuinely don't know. Most of our churches that are growing young is because there's young people already there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
And part of that leads to the how, you know, so we started the who, the why, and the how, you know, and some of that is, you know, our resources are caught up in the structure, and they're not trickling down to the local church as they should. And that's a problem, but that's the kind of stuff that has to change if we're going to get serious about, you know, really capturing the mind and the hope of the younger generation. But again, the younger generation has to also step up to the challenge.
To actually doing
it. Wow. Thanks, Patty.
Patty, I just want to thank so much for being on the show.
We all thank you.
Get a B minus.
No,
seriously, Patty, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we're just glad to know you.
Patty, and I mean, it's obviously apparent we've known you for a long time, but I mean, we don't get to talk to you like this anymore. Like, we're usually so busy.
Don't pick up your phone, man.
So this is like, Jesse, don't turn this into an insult. This is a special moment.
No, I want to tell Patty.
This is a special moment.
I'm just letting this happen.
My grievances on air.
So, but Patty, the point is, that's Jesse's way of saying we miss you.
Yeah.
And we appreciate this conversation. We like having these conversations. So we're hoping we can have more. With you.
Let me just jump in for a second. Of course, love all you guys. I mean, you know, except Jesse.
Thank you.
And
thanks for doing all of our weddings.
Well, that's true.
We appreciate you.
You know that it's fun to get on there with you guys. I'm glad that you guys are, again, you're in that group that is talented and hasn't walked away, and I'm thankful for that, because again, that's the only hope that we have. You know, and, you know, as far as, all the other stuff, I think, you know, specifically Jesse, when you have a 17 and a 14 year old, you know, then you holler back at me and, let me know how life's
Patty,
going.
I will literally out of spite, just set aside an hour every day when I have a 14 year old just to tell you, look, I'm calling you. Yeah. That's
and,
all I was.
And when you
do
that, when you do that long enough, and then suddenly you get off that phone call and you realize they've all left you,
or they're dead.
Because you were on the phone with me. Then, yeah. Good luck with that.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. Okay. I get that. Yeah.
That's great.
No, Patty. Seriously, thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, well, thank you guys. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Seeking What They Sought. Big thanks to Patty for joining us today. As I said before, we'll be taking a little break from posting new episodes, but we'll be back with loads of great content that we hope will be both meaningful and fun to listen to. Big thanks to everyone who's given us feedback or left a review in the iTunes store. That's all super helpful, and we really, really appreciate it. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Seeking What They Sought.